Blog Talk Radio.
At the center of the center of the center of the world, the inner chamber of the Pyramid of Cheops in Giza, Egypt, I follow the track of the Scarab. The Scarab, the ancient Egyptian symbol of longevity.
Capital I, capital I, in a consistent pattern of how my mind corrects and directs me functioning in a haze of complex. I am mastering my time for this cause to show you two works of a rebel without a pause. Be of a good courage and be not afraid. No sway to the left or the right and be not dismayed. In the midst of the storm, be the cornerstone and observe the landslides and falling of the hailstones. In the terror dome, alone with robotic clones, but you're destined to see the light of the heavenly throne. The stars luminous, so I don't hide at night. I ascend from the abyss, shining a guiding light. Constellations of the sun, I and I, billions of others, one for many, reflect the nature of each other. Capital I. Capital I,
symbol of longevity.
I don't hide at night. I ascend from the abyss, shining a guiding light. Capital I,
symbol of longevity.
Comprehensible to the average brain. Exercise on the plane of the most highest. Quiet the physical body, emotional silence. Listen to the thought, the intuition warns. Assembles in the electricity, soon to take form. Ideas are shaped in the earth from desire. Studying the seven and the house of fire. How do the numbers relate to me? With a letter and my respect for fire, earth, air, water, and ether. Documents of a mentor, ancestors give us a plan. Knowledge in the mind and the body of a man. Rise like the morning sun, expressions of the universe, but the universe is one. Capital I,
symbol of longevity.
Capital I,
symbol of longevity.
I don't hide at night. I ascend from the abyss, shining a guiding light. Capital I,
symbol of longevity.
Capital I. Consciousness, cultivation, it's all in the mind. Energy travels in the serpentine mind. Dimming the irrational, material lust. Finding the erase, you rock us. As we strut like the Egyptian architects. In the inner reach of the Nile Valley, African intellect. Selfless, oneness with humanity. Here begins your true sense of responsibility. Respond to your ability for soul travel. Up the spine from the bile to the pineal. Jacob fought the angel and threw his thigh to joint. He fought himself to reach his spiritual conscious point. All things come from the eternal, and all things will return. Allow your soul to learn. Capital I,
symbol of longevity.
Capital I,
symbol of longevity.
I don't hide at night. I ascend from the abyss, shining the guiding light. Capital I. Directing my vehicle, motility, metaphysical reality, bodily function through illusions, images, and truth. The senses, so I continue to be self. All I see in like the horse, hawk, bird. Flesh, embodiment of the word. Capital I. Capital
symbol
I. I don't hide at night. I ascend from the abyss, shining a guiding light. Capital I. Capital I. I don't hide at night. I ascend from the abyss, shining a guiding light. Capital I. Capital I.
Symbol of longevity.
Beyond imagination, we have come in the form of equity to help our chemistry. Absolute zero infinity. Alchemy chemistry. Absolute zero infinity. Alchemy chemistry. Absolute zero infinity. Alchemy chemistry. Absolute zero infinity. Infinity.
Penetrate.
Once again with the Dr. Arlene Bay Show. And we're going to have a good show for you tonight. We're going to be dealing with the Ouachita. And for those who don't know who the Ouachita are or is in this sense, I guess you can say that they are the original or the most indigenous people on the face of the planet, in particular here in the Americas. So we're going to be getting into that information tonight. As a matter of fact, we got the 2013 United Ouachita Conference Cruise to the Pyramids coming up. And we have a special guest in which that is going to help break down for you, for those who are ready to come. And that is the Supreme Agent, Alicia Kaya. Are you there?
I am indeed. Islam, my brother. How are
Islam,
you?
Islam, how you doing? How you doing? Appreciate you coming on.
I am wonderful. Yes, sir.
All right, I know we got questions, and I'm not going to get into those right now, but we're going to definitely try to explain what's going on here. What you got for us as far as this 2013 United Ouachita Conference Cruise to the Pyramids?
Absolutely. I am so excited about the opportunity to share this. This is going to be off the charts. This is the one opportunity that everyone will get instead of just reading about it in a book, instead of just talking about it, to actually be about it, to actually climb the pyramids, to actually see the ruins that are actually there. It is just going to be absolutely amazing. It is the 2013 United Ouachita Conference Cruise to the Pyramids. It will take place over the spring equinox, and that was done very strategically so that we will be able to get the spiritual side in tune with the knowledge that we're also going to be able to take in. That's going to take place Thursday through Monday, March 21st through the 25th, out of Tampa, Florida. So everyone that's coming would want to fly in and out of Tampa, Florida, or drive down to Tampa. On that Thursday, we're going to have an all-black Ouachita meet-and-greet affair. We'll have a photographer there that'll take pictures of everybody together with the fezzes and the whole nine yards. Then we'll have dinner every night together, a four-course dinner. Anybody that's a vegetarian, there's vegetarian options available every night, and that's going to be at 8:30 every night. On Friday, we're going to have United Ouachita activities all day long on the ship. Saturday, we will arrive in Cozumel, Mexico. We'll do the tour of the pyramids, also come back on the ship. For those that do billiards, they've got the self-leveling billiards tables there on board, so it's going to be absolutely amazing. Sunday, United Ouachita activities all day long, coming back on Monday. To Tampa, Florida, anybody that wants to stay over and go to Busch Gardens, go to the Florida Aquarium, to the Lowry Zoo package, anything that you want to do afterwards, you're more than welcome to. This is going to be absolutely amazing. The Jewel of the Seas is off the hook. I was on her inaugural sailing. They just did a multi-million-dollar refurbishment on her in 2008. The ship is absolutely amazing. The food is excellent. It is beautiful. They just went through and put brand new bedding throughout the whole fleet. So that bedding you actually are able to take, not take with you, but to purchase. It is hard to get up out of the beds. But all of the great activities that are going to take place on board, it's going to be well worth it. The pricing is very, very reasonable. The interior cabins, which have no windows at all, those are $554.55 per person. The ocean views are $684, and the balconies are $754. We have an excellent, excellent payment plan so that it makes it very affordable for everybody. The first deposit is only $100 per person, and that's going to be due on the 20th, which is this Monday. We are willing to work with you, but just understand that the prices will continue to go up the longer that you wait.
You might have to say that one more time.
The prices will definitely go up the longer that you wait. So whatever you got to do, if you got to use, I had a brother today that called and said, well, I might need to use four different credit cards in order to, you know, do my $100 deposit. Whatever works, that's what you want to do. You know, we can even work with you if you do a $50 deposit. We would just have to roll everything else over. So for those who signed up on Facebook, we offered you all a $50 deposit so that you would be able to go ahead and get in there by Monday. So if anybody that can get their deposit in by Monday, instead of the $100, we're willing to take $50 in order to lock you in. So now there is no excuse, because anything you want to, if Jay-Z was coming to your city, you would find $50 for a ticket to go see him. So without a question, put together $50, give us a call. The direct number is 888-636-5222, 888-636-5222. You can hit me on Facebook at Alisha, A-L-I-S-H-A-H, Kier, K-I-E-R, and it's the one that has the woman bowing, not the one with the cruise ship. So hit me there, or you can email me at honorandglorytravel@gmail.com. You can go to the events page, which is 2013 United Washita Conference Cruise to the Pyramids, right on Facebook, and just click that you're coming. We are reaching out to you. We definitely want everybody to come. We want this to be off the hook. All of the knowledge and all of the wisdom that's coming together in this one place, we can make this ship levitate. So without a question, we're going to open up for questions later, but without a question, we definitely want everybody to come on and participate. Hit me on my email so I can get a flyer out to you. There's also a flyer that's able to be downloaded on Facebook. If you type in 2013 United Washita Conference Cruise, it'll come up. You just click on it, and boom, there's the information right there for you.
All right, I want you to stay online, and we're going to get into some of the information that you will be exposed to as far as the, you know, knowledge, wisdom, understanding on the Washita. So we're going to get into that right now, and we're going to come back at the top of the hour and go over this one more time again, and then we're going to close out at 10. But
excellent.
You have anything else that you want to say before we get into
that? That's pretty much it right now. While you're teaching, people can email me. I'll be checking my email, and I'll be blasting everything out. I want to listen, so don't call me while the show is going on, because I want to listen. I want to get my knowledge on as well. You can definitely call us after the show. We will be working maybe until about 11 Eastern Standard Time tonight, but people are already calling in. They're ready to make their deposits, and everything is on first come, first serve. So once the first set of cabins are sold out, then we got to go to the second set, which is at a higher price.
All right. Everybody got that, and I'm sure. And so we're going to get into this information. So when we're talking about the Washita, the word Washita, W-A-S-H-I-T-A, which is singular, actually the symbol is that of an eye, right? Another name for Washita is Ashita or Washita, which starts with a O-U-A-C-H-I-T-A, in which that we get the English transliteration Wichita, in which that the word witch is also associated with that, because we was the so-called witch doctors or the high priests. The word Washita in a sense means father or mother of the mystics, you know, which actually have its indigenous roots to Mu, all right? And You can see it through the teachings on the walls of ancient Kemet, because the word Washita is also taken from the Timerian or Kemetic Egyptian word Ushita or Usheta, all right, in which that is spelled U-A-T-C-H-I-T-A, or Washet, as it is also pronounced as, all right, which is spelled U-A-T-C-H-E-T. So that is the derivative of the word Washita is from the word Washet. And if you ever seen the symbol Washet, it is a sun disk of Aton with the wings. All right, this is the same as within Malachi, the fourth chapter, the second verse, which speaks about the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. That's the symbol. All right, now, if you get from the Osirian resurrection myth, and it's written by Dr. Muwatta Ashby, this is what he says. From immemorial, the symbol of the winged sun disk, or Washet, has been used to signify freedom and expansion, symbolized of the mind, the soul. And in the ancient Egyptian or Tamaraean myth of Osar, it is said that Heru defeated Set by becoming Ur Washet, or the winged sun disk, which is the encompassing divinity, the all-encompassing divinity, which is called Aton, in which that, of course, we know by the 18th dynasty, Akhenaten, Aton, which means the life source of Aton, which symbolizes this all-encompassing divinity, or symbolic to the solophatic energy itself, in which that activates the melanin, he brought all of the teachings into a monotheistic belief system, in which that, of course, we know that that particular science is given to a mythological character by the name of Moses within your Bible, because the Jews was trying to create a history for themselves. So he took portions from the Egyptians and the Babylonian mysteries and attempted to apply it to themselves. Now, it goes on to say that Heru defeated Set by becoming the Ur Washet, the sacred form of Ur Washet, the sun winged disk with two Uris. All right, symbolizes the goddess Nephthet, and as well as also the goddess Washet, all right, which is also symbolic to the sacral nerves, you know, the sacral nerves on the left and the right side of your sacral bone area, at the base of your spine, in which that is the abode of the Kundalini energy, or which is known as Osset. All right. Within the mythology of the Babylonians or Sumerian texts or Akkadian texts, she become known as Ishtar. All right, or Esther, in which that, of course, the biblical comparison would be that of the mythical character of Esther within the Bible, where we get the word Easter from, and which that symbolizes the sun passing over or coming back within the first zodiac sign of Aries, in which that symbolizes the beginning or the awakening, hence the opening of the eye once again. So this is what all of this is symbolic to. All right, so it goes on to say, thus it is decreed, or was decreed by Jehuti, wisdom, that the Ur Washet should be seen decorated over every temple as the protection from evil. So when you reach this higher self, or this higher level, or the most high God, which is within you, you have that protection from evil at that point, because the lower self has submerged itself into the higher self, and there is none but one self at this particular point. And that one self is called Ur-Ra. All right, Ur-Ra is the name that we get within Arabic is Allah. All right? This is where all this is coming from. So you go on and read another book by Dr. Muwatta Ashby, and this one is called The Egyptian Tantric Yoga Guide to Love, Sex, Marriage, Relationships, and Spiritual Enlightenment. He goes on to state that the Ur Washet is the epitome of the ancient Egyptian tantric mystical philosophy as it is still today. It is the supreme expression of the understanding of the all-encompassing, the all-persuasive, the absolute existence. Therefore, the wings are used by both gods and goddesses, or Netarus, in ancient Egyptian mythology, because the supreme deity encompasses both male and female, all opposites or complementary, in all existence, which is the state of androgyny. Thus, in order to overcome evil, the concept of opposites, it is necessary to discuss the all-encompassing vision of creation. Within this understanding, there cannot be evil since there is no duality. So this is what this is symbolic to. When you reach that state, there is no evil because there is no duality at this particular level. All right, so it goes on to say that there's another one called, according to M. Mespero, these are called the memoirs of the papyrus, all right, in which that says the goddess Washet comes up from the underworld, which is symbolic to that sacral bone area that we were just talking about, coming up the spine, and it would change the faces into things of beauty with bright eyes of light. I fly up and perch myself upon the forehead of Ra in the bow of his boat, which is in heaven, which is talking about in between the two eyes, which is known as the third eye. And the boat, of course, is the ark, which is the roundness of the head at the top, the crown. And I, the spiritual body of the sustainer of Mayat, which is made by the goddess Washet. So the spiritual body or the sustainer of Mayat, which symbolizes truth, is actually made by Washet or Washetet or Washetor. All right, and it goes on and it says that, so note, the kundalini or serpentine fire raises up from the root or base chakra to rest at the anja or the brow third eye chakra. Her masculine consort is the uraeus. Now, in ancient times, the uraeus was known as the goddess Washet, which is symbolic to Osset, Mary, which is Osset's other name is Mary. When you get the Mary of Mother Jesus within the Bible later on as that mythical character, Nebkep, or Arderet, which is the cobra, all of that is talking about the same thing, the Kundalini energy. So Africans believe that the unlimited power of individual godhood occurred when one would see God. Now, of course, we talk about Washetor means an eye, and that's talking about the sun disk Ra, or the sun disk Aton ray, all right? And so it says, when the serpent raves to the sixth stage, the form, it is God that is seen. But a slight veil remains because there's seven seals, and the last seal is the crown. So it says that this is still a slight veil that remains. It is as if one can see light within a lantern and think that the light itself can be touched, but the glass intervenes. All right. Now, this is taken from the New Encyclopedia Britannica, 1992. Now, in the Old Testament, Genesis, the 32nd chapter, the 30th verse, it says that Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, as in pineal gland. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. All right. And he has passed over Peniel, and the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh, symbolic to the lower self, because the word pineal gland is also symbolic to the head of the penis. So the pineal, P-E-N-I-L-E, gland is the head of the penis, which you also have the P-I-N-E-A-L inside your brain, which is the shape, which is shaped directly like the head of the penis. So you have two pineals in that sense. And so when your ass act out real bad, they put you behind the pineal system. Hence, calcified walls, just like they want to calcify your pineal gland. That is also something that we want to stick in there too. Now, if you go to Nutricides by Dr. Layla Imhotep Africa, there's an actual photograph of inside of the human brain, and the cells of the brain are magnified to the equivalent size of a car. And hovering over the pineal gland, which is known as the fourth eye, which most don't speak about, but Grandmaster Sun Yat Saraswati, my teacher, does, is the electromagnetic galaxy-like cloud in the center of the brain, which is actually known as the Eye of Heru. All right? This is what is known actually as the Eye of Heru. It is inside of the blood of the brain in a fluid-filled space called the third ventricle. Now, the Eye of Heru is alive and is active, and it floats above the pineal gland and influences melanin and the spiritual world unseen. All right, this is the internal Nibiru that everyone is speaking about, that Nibiru is coming out the sky. Well, you already have an internal Nibiru, all right, the word Neb-Heru, all right? The word Neb means golden, and Heru means light. So when you reach this particular fourth eye, it emanates a sun disk or a golden sun disk around the head, which is symbolic to Aton or Aton Ray. Or Aton Ray, all right, in which that correlates to the external Sirius C, all right, which is said to be the Nibiru, in which that is coming back around. Of course, Zachariah Sitchin called it the planet of the crossing. Dr. York referred to it as the same thing, and many others have spoken about it, but I'm more concerned about what's inside than what is outside, because greater is he within you than he that is in the world. So, I'm just showing you the correlation between these particular scriptures, whether it's the Bible, whether it's the Vedic text or the Bhagavad Gita or the Upanishads, or whether it's the Book of Common Folk by Day and Night, known as Brahmaheru Sutek. It doesn't matter. All right. This same information is coming from out the ancient mystery schools, in which that we as Moors actually have the guardianship over. And you don't believe me, you can go and read Stolen Legacy by George G. James, in which that he states this specifically, that the Moors are the guardians or the bearers of the ancient Egyptian mysteries. So that's something to keep in mind. And this is the ancient Moors. Of course, us as Moors, we have this information embedded inside of our DNA. So nothing has been lost. It all will come out at a given time. So this is what we're doing, is taking the pieces of the puzzle and putting this puzzle together. Now, if you go to the New Testament, Luke 11:34, it says the light of the body is the eye. One eye now. Therefore, when the eye is single, the third eye in particular, to project to the fourth eye, right, thy whole body would be filled with light. But when the eye is evil, thy body would be filled with darkness. So that correlates to all of that too. All right. Now, of course, in the Greek tales, see, we even go into the Greek information, the single eye being is known as Cyclops. Cyclops is depicted as the giant one-eyed man, symbolized as the mind, all right, which is Aton, or Aton Ray. All right. This is why the same eye is on the back of your dollar bill, you know, in the pyramid, you know. So if you get Manly P. Hall's 33 Degrees, he says the design of the reverse of the Great Seal is even more definitely related to the order of the quest. The pyramid in the All-Seeing Eye represents the universal house surmounted by the radiant emblem of the great architect of the universe. These three symbols in combination is more than a chance or coincidence. All right, if you get which that's coming from The Secret Destiny of America by Manly P. Hall on page 173. Now, if you get some more information coming from Dr. Barry Fell, he shows images that look like the All-Seeing Eye in North America, all right, in which that he speaks about. All right, if you go to the coffin text of the New Kingdom, you know, which is between 2100 to 1675 BCE, the Eye of Heru is known as the Eye of the Soul. Such is Heru when he is reappeared or resurrected in glory. He has fashioned his bodily eye. Behold, it is stronger than any of the gods. Is the soul eye stronger than the gods? And Seth, all right, so that one eye is stronger than the gods and Seth, which symbolizes the lower self or Satan or that lower nature or lower mind of yourself. All right, it is stronger than all the gods and Seth. All right, of course, we see Seth as one of the sons of Adam, who took the place of Abel in the Old Testament. All of that correlates to that, too. All right. Then, of course, you go to the pyramid text of the Old Kingdom, 3200 to 2100 BCE. The Eye of Heru, which is basically located in the forehead, the relationship to the sunlight. It says, utterance 523. It says, may the sky make the sunlight strong for you. All right. Now, that's what is going on right now with the solar flare activity. May you raise up the sky as the eye of Ra. May you stand at the left eye of Him, which is Tahuti, where speech of the gods, Neturus, us heard. Stand up as the head of the spirits of Him, Tahuti, stood at the head of the living. All right. Then, of course, in the Egyptian text, it states that I have approached with worship the two Katis, or gods, and Sekhmet, who are the temple of the ages, or the age one, which is Anu, which is actually a form of Ra. The two Katis are in the Hindu Vedic text as the Ida and the Pingala. All right, that's what that is. All right, so once again, it always goes back to the physical body and the components of the physical body. So when we're talking about the word Washita, we're talking about the epitome of enlightenment. All right, in which that the wing symbolizes the expansion of the mind or reaching into the universe, and the universe spans 76 quintillion miles in diameter according to the teachings of the Nation of Gods and Earth, so the Five Centers, all right, which is my foundation. So when we get into that, this is what all of this is talking about. Now, Raul Nefer says something special about this too, Shechem, Raul Nefer Amen, in his book, Neter. He says that the Washet is another reference to the eye of Ra, or and of Heru. And Ut, or Uch, carries the meaning of strong, strength, command, and protection, are associated with the brain, commanders, strong names, and statutory laws. And as the so-called Eye of Ra, the Washet features predominantly in the story of the Battle of Heru, which symbolizes the will against evil, Set. All right? And it says that the brain center is the that in the left eye of Heru, there was injured, taken by Set, and had to be restored by Tahuti, the principle of wisdom, which symbolizes God's omnipresence and omniscience. And it says the mystic marriage of the sun and moon in its spiritual and inoperative sense is the union of soul and spirit to form the Gnostic knower, Christos, which, of course, the soul is Ba and the spirit is Ka. Right? So those two comes together to form the Gnostic Christ. Or Christos, all right, which is called Phres, within the ancient Kemetic teachings, which symbolizes the mummified body of Osiris or Osar, and the Gnostics, which is also known as the Nazarenes or the Essenes. Religion was an offshoot of the so-called Egyptian mysteries, which was known as the Hakka or the Herbat teachings, which is the teachings of light. And they understood that each being must be their own Christ, you know, and each being is ultimately responsible for their own salvation. All right. So this is what Raul Nefer went into and spoke about. And he goes on in order to break some other things down, too. And he says, now the left eye links up to the right hemisphere of the brain. All right. Which is the Ushet associated with the brain, and the right side of the brain process information visually and is responsible for the spiritual life of man or the mind. It governs meaning and understanding. The left side of the brain processes verbal information but cannot assemble the strings of information to enable understanding. Verbal audio with hearsay thinking breaks up the whole into unconnected parts. And it says the right side draws consciousness in, while the left side kicks it outward into the physical realm. All right, so the right side draws consciousness in, and the left side kicks it outwards into the physical realm. This is the reason why for the wings, the third eye, which is the pineal gland, and the soul is embedded inside of the pineal gland and must be awakened, which means our soul must resurrect, and then by transforming into Heru. All right? This is what is happening, this which is the Christ or Kares. This is what this is all talking about. All right, so it says, evil in man is therefore the result of the dominance of the left brain thinking, the sinister over the right side. All right, so here go this battle waged again between left and right, good and bad, you know, agreeable, disagreeable, that duality. But when you reach Washet or Washita, all right, you no longer have that duality within you. You have reached the epitome. All right. So it says the awakening and development of the right side requires spiritual teachings and the living of truth. Another meaning of Washet associated with is weighing. We use the concept of weighing in the association with reasoning, which is a process that looks at the idea in relation with the to order and to determine the legality of conclusions and judgment. Reasoning is thus a right brain dominated activity, as the left brain cannot relate ideas to each other. And this is where the conscious community stands at right now. I see a lot of so-called conscious people really dwelling within the left hemisphere of the brain. You know, and this is a serious problem which that is taking place right now. You know, so you have to learn the distinction between the right hemisphere and left hemisphere so that you can always be connected with that right hemisphere and let that dominate so that the left hemisphere will have to merge all of its skills, verbal skills, and whatever else that it has within the right hemisphere of the brain in order to make it as one, you know, so one brain. So this is what this is all symbolic to when we see the symbol of Aton or Aton Ray with the winged disc, with the wings. That is symbolic to that oneness once again, because there's only one sun dish there, and those wings symbolize that expansion of the mind and it's in balance. So Mayat, and this is why you also see Mayat with the wings too. All right, so the Empire Washoe Dedeck Demonya Moors is an indigenous people, or the indigenous people of the Americas. You know, when we talk about Washet, otherwise predominantly known as the Olmecs or the She people, they have been a primary group of a more general population of indigenous people identified in history as the Amuru, all right, which is the Moors, you know, in which that, of course, you know, we know within Spanish and French, that word Moor is used as in Amore, which symbolizes love. And, of course, that sun disc with the wings symbolized that also, symbolized supreme love. All right? So that also what that symbolizes. And so when we get into the Washita, they have been within the English language, they've been known as the Adena Hopewellian people, all right, which is identified with the Punic Iberian affinity, maintaining an illusion Carthaginian heritage. And as such, Washita have been associated with the Eastern Algonquin Native Americans, having acquired an ancient Egyptian, Arabic, Hebrew, Libyan, Punic script, as it is known, and vocabulary. And actually, this script has been has appeared in the epigraphic records of North America. Matter of fact, from Canada down into New York, all the way across to Poverty Point, you know, in Louisiana. It is all over, down into Florida. I mean, it is all over. This is why you can go to the Arizona Gazette, Monday, April the 5th, 1909, and the headlines reads, Exploration in the Grand Canyon, and it says, remarkable finds indicate ancient people migrated from Egypt, tracing back to Ramesses. All right. Now, that was something in which that took place many years after we was already here, because if you get a book by the name of Forbidden Archaeology by Michael Creedmore, he states that there was humans or humanoid people already here over 600 million years ago in the Americas. As a matter of fact, there was bell-shaped vessels or vase in which that was made from metal, in which it had an exquisite carving at the equator, in which that showed that not only was carving, but there was also a writing system, And what they also discovered is that these particular vase or bell-shaped vessels dated back to over 600 million years ago. So somebody was smelting metals in the Americas 600 million years ago. Now, this was before the separation of the continental of the continents, known as the continental drift, in which that, according to science, took place 200 million years ago. So that means that we was already in the Americas 400 million years prior to the continental drift. So this means that when all the land masses were together, all the continents were together at one time, we spread it from out the diaspora, or what is known now as Africa, into the various parts of the of various lands. And we was there millions and millions of years prior to the existence of anyone else on the planet. In other words, this is when Public Enemy then was talking about the fear of a black planet. Well, that's what that was at that particular time period. Matter of fact, up until just recently, up until about 10,000 years ago. And I'm being fair with that, with that estimation, of 10,000 years, because some go down to 6,000 and some to 3,000, of certain things in which that took place, in which that caused the other races or species to come into existence. All right. So this is what Washitor actually symbolizes. And if you get certain other books such as Primordial Signs and Symbols of Man, written by Albert Church Ward, he states in there that the oldest people on the planet was known as the Twa people, also known as the Anu people. All right? The Anu people. So when people speak about Anu was a being that just came from outer space, well, the Twa people actually are known as the Anu people, it was more than just one being. It was beings, and they are the oldest beings on the face of the planet, and all of us come from them, all right? So the Twa people were in Egypt. Matter of fact, they were the first to go into Egypt, and the Dogon priesthood was devised by them, in which that the Dogons left from out of Egypt around 8,000 BCE, all right? In which that they, about 8,000 years ago, which is actually 6,000 BCE, excuse me, in which that they left and went into Mali, or went westward into West Africa, all right? And they was actually the astrologers or the cosmologists for the Egyptians during that time period. They helped build the particular temples and pyramids along with the Twa people. Now, from out of the Dogons came the Omeks, who was known as the Shi people, XI people, all right, in which that their roots come from out of the Malian, Nigerian, Niger area. That particular area, all right? And from out of that, they took and brought the mysteries here over 5,000 years ago, in which that they built the pyramids from South America, Mexico, into North America, also known as the Mounds. And along with the people in which that was already here, because this we're talking about several impacts. Remember, we was already here millions of years ago. So we just kept impacting upon impacting upon impacting over the millions and thousands of years, over and over again. So this information was never lost. The mystery was there was never a mystery. It was only a mystery to those who never practiced and never knew how to put these pieces of the puzzle together. All right? So this information was able to migrate, and the Washto are the bearers of this information, as they've been recognized by Ancient American Magazine as being the mound builders, even though other museums and other mound sites do not recognize them as such. They know the truth, because we have been to dozens of mounds, and when we bring up the word Washto, they look at us puzzled, like, you know, you're not supposed to know that. And that's a very similar incident in which that happened to us when we went to the United Grand Lodge of England, you know, in London. And when we was there, the museum curator followed us around and asked us how we felt about the possibilities of our first black president. And my wife looked at him and said, well, I thought there was at least 9. And he jumped back like Mike Tyson hit him and said, you're not supposed to know that. Who told you that? Did they tell you that? So we know that there's supposed to be world secrets, you know, held by the so-called elite, in which that the people of so-called color is not supposed to know about. Sad to say, these secrets have been plastered all over the internet now, and the internet itself is the nail in the coffin, you know, over the so-called mysteries. And so now we're able to go forth in order to actually know who we are at this day and time. That's what we're going to be dealing with right now. As far as the Washto, we're going to come on back in a minute. We're going to hit you up with some music. And, of course, you can come back with questions and answers. So just hold on. Let us take you into the music vibe right quick. Let's see. Dead presence, kept them off.
Is the enemy. Everywhere the white man go, he bring misery. All throughout history, look it up. Everything the bald heads touch, they fuck it up. Every government he set up, it be corrupt.
Revolution. Revolution.
Dead prayers. People army. Steve Marley. Ghetto youth crew. What you know is who you are. Who are you? Do you know who you are in the world? What is your worldview? What do you go through? What has your life shown you? What are you learning in this so-called life? Do you have principle or do you blow with the wind? Do you want to be free but don't know where to begin? Do you know your enemy from your friend? Even your kin is deep in the skin. It's the system they're keeping us in. Will we survive? Do you believe or we afraid? Would you rather have control of your life or be a slave? Show me a sign. A pig ain't no homie of mine. They owe me what's mine. I'll show you if you loan me or not. I'm only concerned for tables to turn. When the people learn the truth about the system, the cities will burn. And I stand firm like Shaka Zulu. These crackers can't stop you.
it up.
All right.
Everything them ball heads touch, they fuck it up.
Okay.
Every government he set up, it be corrupt. Everywhere the white man go, he bring misery. All throughout history, you can look it up. Everything them ball heads touch, they fuck it up. Every government he set up, it be corrupt. Where the soldiers at? Where the warriors at? Where the riders at? Freedom fighters at? Where the warriors at? Where the soldiers at? Where the riders at? Freedom fighters at?
People fight me and they put me. Look how you feel them fight me. You can't slow and meditate of what the fight is. Before I make a song of it. Oh, you see me right out, shot the sheriff and all that. Just to fight when I get them own group. Gotta shoot out a sheriff.
All right, we back. Alicia, Goddess, are you there?
I am. I'm here.
All right, all right. You want to hit that information up another time here?
I didn't hear you. I'm sorry. My phone went out.
I was saying you want to go over the information one more time?
Absolutely, absolutely. We are going to be together on the 2013 United Ouachita Conference Cruise to the Pyramids. We are going to the Pyramids of Mexico. Very, very excited. Keep in mind that it is absolutely optional to do the climbing of the tours. I mean, the climbing tour of the Pyramids. I've gotten quite a few questions. People are asking, do they have to do it? Absolutely, they don't. It is separate. And so that is an absolute option for you, but it's something that you definitely want to be able to take part in since it is being offered. It is going to take place on the Royal Caribbean Jewel of the Seas, absolutely beautiful, beautiful ship. I was on the commissioning of this ship. She just had a multi-million-dollar refurbishment in 2008. The restaurants on this ship are beyond belief, so we're not going to just be getting on some little sailboat. This is one of the largest ships in the world, and you will just be amazed. We're excited that it's going to be coming out of Tampa, so that way people who don't want to have to fly that are on the East Coast can just drive down, and they'll be in North Florida, and it'll be no problem. The interior cabins are $554 per person, ocean view $684, and the balconies are $754. You don't have to pay that in a lump sum. We are running a special on the early bird deposit. It was $100. If you do pay by the 20th, which is Monday, at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard, so that's the cutoff, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Monday. Instead of doing the whole $100, you can do $50, and that will lock your deposit in. We have payment arrangements that end on the 5th of December. So without a question, you want to make sure that you get yourself in and that you get yourself on board. My direct number is 888-656-5222. 888-636-5222, 888-636-5222. We're available to serve you 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard. You can also email me at honorandglorytravel, all spelled out, at gmail.com, or you can text us at 404-401-7448. We'll be glad to send a flyer and registration form out to you. We are working all weekend. Don't wait until the last minute. We have a limited number of cabins set aside, so once those are filled up, then those prices are null and void, and we have to go to the next higher prices. People are jumping on this left and right because it's gone from $100, which is the required deposit, down to $50 per person. So if you don't have a roommate, don't let that hold you back. We do have a roommate match program. So if there's a same-sex person that needs a roommate, we'll be glad to let you all talk. You can let us know if you think it's going to be a good match. This is going to be an amazing, amazing opportunity. I don't want to put all the information out there yet because I know several people will be asking questions, and I want to give them the opportunity to answer, to ask those questions so I can answer them. But you can feel free to email me your questions. You can call me. All of those, please don't call during the while we're on the show because I want to be able to give my undivided attention to the show. But I will be working tonight until 11 Eastern Standard.
All right. Everybody got that, I hope. All right. She even said that she'll work with y'all who are on CP time. All right. Well, we'll come on back to more of that information before we close out, and we'll go back into this knowledge here about the Ouachita. When you go to Ancient American Magazine, issue 17, it reports the evidence for black-skinned natives in the Americas long before the arrival of Columbus is abundant. From the distinctive negroid features of the colossal Olmec sculptured heads and the pre-Aztec obsidian bowl being upheld by a figure with unmistakable black characteristics to the bones of the negroid persons excavated from a 2,000-year-old mound in northern Wisconsin, a wealth of material exists to establish the certainty of non-white, non-Indian population living in pre-Columbian America along with these other groups. So there are many mounds that have been deliberately destroyed, over 200,000 ancient pyramids and huge mounds of the earth in the shape of cones, animals, geometric designs can still be found from the southern coast of America to Canada. Now, that's something right there because this is Ancient American Magazine, and they're verifying the fact that we was here prior to Columbus, but also we was here prior to the Indians. All right, so that's something also to tap into and go doing your research and study on that. And when you come on and do your research, you will find that that there's a lot of connections in which that was never told to you. Another good book to get is called What They Never Told You in History Class by Indo Kemet Kush. Excellent book. Everybody need to have that on their shelves. All right? So, according to Zusa, Economics, the History of Pan-African Trade, Commerce, Money, and Wealth, these blacks found in the Americas. This is by First Books Library. It says the mound builders, they were dark-skinned, woolly-haired blacks who were indigenous to North America and kin to the Olmecs of South America. The Olmecs and Ouachita, the Black Californians, the Yemassi, the Californami, and the other pre-Columbian blacks of the Americas were part of a prehistoric trade network that began in Africa and spread it worldwide over 100,000 years ago at various periods afterwards. Right? This is according to the book. This is what it says. All right? You can read in The History of African Olmecs, written by First Book Libraries. It says the Black Olmecs dominated Mexico and Central America from about 3,113 years before Christ, or the Christian era, to about 400 years before Christ. It says, what happened to the descendants of the Olmecs? Here's the shocking fact. The Olmecs spread it through the Americas, building settlements and trading all over the region. Many remained in Mexico, some mixed out of existence, all right, which was a sad trend that led to their disappearance. The vast majority left the settlements, all right, and some returned to the trading and maritime activities between Africa and the Americas by the time Columbus visited. Others, the descendants of the Olmecs, also settled in the Mississippi Valley, Texas, the southwestern United States, and they became victims of kidnapping for enslavement when the edicts from the Catholic Church put out were to enslave all the descendants of Ham found in the New World, all right, when that was passed by the church. So hence today in the Americas, the present community of blacks from Brazil to Canada are a mixture of Olmecs, Ouachita, Californian, which are Black Californians, the Yamasee, the Gullah, the Black Carib, and those so-called slaves brought to the Americas after Columbus. All right, I refer to them as POWs. So the Olmecs never disappeared, but moved to remote parts of Central America and Mexico, or were turned into slaves in the United States, what is now known as the United States. It says many of the Xi people, or Olmecs, or Olmecas, became victims of kidnapping for enslavement, and some remained in Mexico. All right? So when I went down to Mexico, matter of fact, I went to Cancun, and guess what? I went to the mall area, and I told one of the guys that I was looking for the Olmecas. And the guy woke up with me looking just like one of my cousins and one of my good friends. And he said, oh, I'm Olmeca. Oh, yeah, this is my dad. He's Olmeca. Yeah, so we came from Tabasco. You know, and they look just like us. So there's no doubt about it. You know, when you go to these places, you can verify what is taking place. And so the Olmecs, which are the Washoe descendants, spread it throughout the so-called Americas, you know, and settled, you know, as also within the Mississippi Valley, as we said, Texas and the south on the western United States, but also in the now Caribbean islands, the Bermuda Islands, Jamaica, Haiti, the Bahamas, Trinidad, Barbados. You know, they even settled in Easter Island. If you get David Chowdhury's book, you know, about the Americas. You know, so they set up colonies on the Caribbean islands, which, and also became known as the Arawak. And the Arawak mixed in with the Portuguese and the Spaniards and the British and produced the Taino tribe, which become known as the Puerto Ricans or the Bonconians. But they actually are Taino from the Arawak. But guess who else mixed in with the Arawak was the Cherokee. So this is what all this information is actually talking about. And if you don't believe me, you can get it once again. Alfonso D. Quatrefesh, it says he's an anthropologist at the Museum of Natural History in Paris. And in his book, The Human Species. And he says that the black inhabitants were found in small numbers in isolated areas in the Americas. Some examples were the Yamasees of Florida, the Taros of Brazil, the Black Caribs of St. Vincent of the Gulf of Mexico, and the Black Sunni of the present-day Arizona and Mexico. This is from their books. You get another book called Africans and Native Americans. It says by Jack D. Forbes. He shows in the book that so-called Indians were then shipped to Spain and sold, that over 3,000 indigenous Moors, so-called Indians, were known to have been shipped to Europe from the Americas between 1493 to 1501 during the so-called Columbus expeditions. And these so-called Native Americans or Indians were classified as Negroes or Blacks in the slave books of Seville, Spain, and elsewhere. So these Native Americans go to Spain and become known as Blacks or Negroes. In other words, they became known as Moors. So the Native Americans and the Moors are one and the same. Another funny coincidence that when we was at the United Grand Lodge of England, right after the guy who's the museum Masonic, you know, he was the Masonic head of the museum, and I told you that he followed us around the museum and he asked us about Obama, you know, possibilities of him being the first black president, and we busted him on that about, okay, well, there was over 9 of them, you know. He then comes back and say, well, you know, Indians were barbarians. Now, how you go from, from Obama being possibly the first black president to Indians being barbarians? Because he was giving us clues. He wanted to see if we knew that we was more. Because the word barbarian comes from the word Berber, or Baba, which is actually Ethiopian name, which is a more indigenous Ethiopian name used by the people of the Kush, of the Kushites. Matter of fact, the Kushites, if you get the ancient Kushites, the wonderful ancient Kushite Empire went by Drusilla Houston Dundee. She has within that book that the Kushites was known as the Kush Moors, and she spelled the M-O-E-R, the Kush Moors. So the Kushites was called Moors, and this is who actually went into Egypt, you know, who was basically known as the Dogon, and who helped form these pyramids and these particular temples, who became known as the Omex, who became related to the Washita, all one and the same people. Amazingly, these pyramid and mound builders. You know, so if you get there's so many books, I mean, it's ridiculous. But there's another book, which I'll get to in a second, which that speaks about the fact of the Moors actually being the high priest of Anu, which is of Ra, or Amun, okay? Amun-Re, or Amun-Ra, all right? Which was known as Anu, and he was the high priest of the order, all right, in ancient Egypt. Okay, so these are a lot of connections here. Now, when we get into the history of African Omex, written by, once again, the first book's library, it says, not a single European nation, tribe, or kingdom is responsible for the presence of blacks in the Americas. The very first people of the Negroid African race arrived in the Americas over 30,000 years ago. Now, this is also according to National Geographic's article on the peopling of the Americas. All right, you get a book called The Forgotten Truth Behind Racism in America, The Hidden Ancestral Identity of the Black Americans, Volume 1, it says the new fertile homeland was given to the black American mound builders as promised before the flood separated the East from the West. All right. If you get this article, it's called The Earthways, the newsletter of the Sojourner Truth Farm School, August 1995, reprinted as the Freedom Press newsletter, spring 1996. The Empress Vodiasi Tierra Washita Turnica Gaston L. Bay states that the Washita were and still is a nation of Africans who existed in the southern United States and Mississippi Valley region long before the 16th century Europeans arrived, and even before there was Native Americans on the land the Washita once occupied and still occupy today. Right, this is what she says. High honors to her Empress, Her Highness, Vodiasi. And I'm showing you all of these books and articles so that this is beyond a doubt. Don't even try to debate me on none of this, because I know I've already given out at least 50 books. All right. Now, in 1969, an article was written by Basil Davidson in which that title, Africans Before Columbus. This article reflects on the information that Columbus brought back from the New World. All right. Now, Alexander von Wootenow, who is a South American historian and has taught pre-Columbian art history at the University of the Americas, he also found what is known as Unexpected Faces in Ancient America in 1975. All right? Then, of course, Ivan von Sertima, at a symposium at the Smithsonian Institute, November 1st, 1991, is called Race, Discourse, and the Origin of the Americas, A New World View, 1492. And he says, many historians deny this pre-Columbian African presence and believe ignoring it is the best way to deal with it. It has been documented that two different African civilizations made the voyage to America. The first one was the 25th dynasty of Egypt, which is 751 to 656 BCE. Now, during that time, the Kushites was running Egypt in the 25th dynasty, as you will find out. And it says, any voyages made between this time would have been resulted accidental. The Nubians' quest for iron ore deposits took them up and down the African coast. All right. This is where they're saying that they was looking for. All right. And, of course, that brought them over here to the Americas, according to Tavon von Sertima. And, of course, you can get any of his books, African Presence in the Americas and so forth and so on. They came before Columbus. Now, there's another scholarly Latin author called C.C. McCreese, who explains the strong possibilities that black people were the first people in the Americas out of which later came the red American race. He said it is likely that we repeat the long ago that useful America was a Negro continent, and that's Atamas, which is talking about the Olmecs of Mexico, and the Cocoro of the Haiti, all right, and the Mata of Brazil, and the Albion, or albino of Panama, or the remains of the aboriginal Negro race out of which later developed the red or American race, or Native Americans, as he was talking about. And this is from his studies of anthropology and ethnocity, volume 1, Madrid from 1920. All right. So there's quite a bit of information here going on. So I think we have proven our case as far as who was already here. Now, of course, some of y'all just want to deal with the fact of us being brought from Africa. Now, that is a portion of a history, but that is less than 15%. 85% of us are already here, predominantly in the Americas. Already here. Now, this might be hard for some of y'all to understand, overstand, you know, and y'all want to, you know, just, you know, stick with the, you know, what they told you in history class, you know, or social studies, you know, that question is, who was the first Americans? And, of course, they show you the Eskimos coming across the Bering Strait, you know, from Russia into Alaska, you know, and, you know, coming down into the interior. But they've already found out that that's not how it happened. That the older people came, they had to have sailed across, and they came from the interior of South or Central America into North America, up. They came in and up. They didn't come down and in. So, number one, what they told you had to have been a lie, because new evidence has proven otherwise. All right. Now, this is why we're known as the oldest indigenous people on the planet. At the United Nations, the Washita has this particular title associated with them as the oldest indigenous people on the planet. And we have speech number 215, in which that we in 1993. We had to reactivate all of this because the Empress is in a nursing home out in California, and we need to keep this going. Right? According to the Washita history, which supports the Empress, Tierra Washita Tunica Gaston L. Bay, Her Imperial Highness, in her quest to collect reparation in the amount of $388 trillion dollars for the use of 68,833 acres of land, which was returned to her in 1992 by the state of Louisiana for recovery and the use of natural resources located in or on the above list of the 68,833 acres of land. All right? And any other funds owned to her, our family, and the nation by the state of Louisiana, i.e. the United States of America Corporation, all right, which was formed from the Virginia Company, with portions of the so-called 13 states, not the whole 13 states, definitely not the Midwest, nor the West was ever sold to the Europeans. They came in with eminent domain, gave smallpox on blankets, and killed 90 million of us from Peru into Alaska. And there was over 125 million of us when they came. This is why they didn't know what to do with the remaining millions of us in which that survived the Holocaust. The only thing they can do is strip us of our nationality, our birthrights, hence our tie to the land. And they left us stateless, in limbo, and then told us that we came from Africa 400 years ago. But yet, grandma is telling you that, oh, you Choctaw, you Blackfoot, you Cherokee. How is that possible? Is grandma lying? Grandma ain't know what the hell she's talking about? What's going on? If you get the book Lost Realms by Zachariah Ascension and also The Mysteries of the Olmecs by David Hatcher Childress, they both state that the oldest documented civilization in the Western Hemisphere belonged to that of the Olmecs, all right, which is referred to as the Empire Washitaw, which was also known as the Empire of the Kushite Empire, also known as the Songhai Malian Empire. All of this is the exact same people. All they did was change up the name in order to throw us off. But if you go to the Black's Law Dictionary, 4th edition, and you look up Admiralty Law or Admiralty Court, and you look up the Consular Court, they in this say, in both of those definitions, says that the Admiralty Court was instilled after the fall of the Western Empire from the Consular Courts. But I thought we was in the Western Empire. So what Western Empire fell in order for them to create the Admiralty Court system from out of the Consular Court system, in which that in the Consular Court definition, you will find that our court system wasn't abandoned until 1956, by Dwight Eisenhower, President Dwight Eisenhower, who was also a mulatto or more. You can see that in his from his mother, and he abolished the Consular Court. The last remnants of the Consular Court. And it says that the Consular Court was in Morocco, was here in the United States. Morocco. That's what it was called. The Consular Court, Morocco. So it was Morocco, the Kingdom of Morocco, that's in Africa. But what is this Morocco, Al-Morocco Empire, or part of this Western Empire that supposedly fell? This was the last remnants of the empires on which that we just finished talking in his various names. This is everything which that they've been doing is trying to hide these particular facts. All right. Matter of fact, we go back to Africans and Native Americans by Jack D. Forbes. He writes that tens of millions of American Indians who disappeared after 1492 did not all die in the Holocaust inflicted within the Americans. Many thousands were sent to Europe and Africa as slaves, where their descendants still live. All right. On page 24, he states that in any case, at least 3,000 Americans, Native Americans, Indians, was all reclassified as Negroes. This goes back to what we was talking about earlier. So not only was the slave trade, what they told us supposedly took place from Africa to the Americas, but he's stating that there was thousands of Americans, Native Americans, or Moors, who was taken from the Americas to Spain, to Portugal, to various parts of Europe. That isn't told to you in your particular books, history and social studies books. All right, so according to the Empress, Rodiasi Teyer, Washtenaw Tunica, Gastonelle Bay, she states that the Washtenaw are the original inhabitants of what is now named the North, Central, and South Americans. Therefore, the Washtenaw are not Indians, because that's a coined federal word. All right? Now, it does come from the word Indu, which means black or God's people. All right, and we are that, but it's a, that would be taken from a Sanskrit in which that later became part of the Latin language or Spanish. All right, and we know that even within Spanish now, they do not refer to it as Indians; they refer to it as Moreno. All right, Negro is the object. All right, Moreno is brown or dark complected, which is more. Matter of fact, when I was down in Mexico, I asked one of the Mexican brothers there, well, what do you refer to as here in the Americas as? He says Moreno. Now, if you can't hear the word more embedded in the word Moreno, then I don't know what the hell is wrong with you. You see, there's a big fuss about should we call ourselves Moors or Blacks. I don't want to even hear that. That's nonsense. Because you look up the word definition of more, in the, even in the Western Dictionary, it means black. But that's their translation of it. We don't have to take that because we know that black is the object. If I have a black computer, I don't say hand me that black. I say hand me the computer. The black becomes secondary because it's a description. I'm not living by a description. I want to live as a noun. A person, place, a thing. Well, actually, as a verb, in a sense, because a more actually can be also labeled as a verb. But anyway, she goes on to say, we do not accept the names African-American, colored, or Indian. We, the people of North America, are predominantly Washita, the ancient mound builders. We were here thousands of years before the amalgamated so-called Indian. The Washita Empire had many descendants. For example, the 12 Shoshone tribes, which is made up of the Cherokee, the Creek, the Chickasaw, the Choctaw, the Seminole, which is known as the so-called five civilized tribes, the Blackfoot, the Arikara, the Sioux, the Kiowa, the Mohawk, the Cheyenne, which is the Mandi, all right, the Yamasee, the Arawak, the Lumbee, the Montauk, the Nanakote Moors, which is the Lenape and the Ben Ishmael, Ishmaelite Moors, the Melungeons, Mohican, the Comanche, the Nez Perce, the Natchez, the Pawnee, bless you, the Washoe, the Tuscarora, the Catawba, the Mi'kmaq, the Osage, the Gunnison, Mattitoponi, the Powhatan, the Wampanoag, and many, many tribal nations. These were all so-called black people. It was more. All right, and it was all part of the Washita Empire. You can get various treaties, and you can see on their names. One particular treaty is known as the Camp Holmes Treaty, H-O-L-M-E-S, the Camp Holmes Treaty. And you can see that it says that all of these people was the Wichita Nations or the Washita Nation. The Cherokee, the Creek, the Choctaw, which actually is the Washita. Choctaw and Washita is one and the same people. The Comanche, the Osage, the Tuscarora, all of them were, and the Seneca, all of them was at one time in treaty with one another, in which that made up this Washita Nation or Wichita Nation. Get the treaties and you'll understand what I'm talking about. Camp Holmes Treaty. All right. Now, what we're going to do, hit you off with, let me just go here and see what's going on in the chat room. All right, there were some questions about me talking on the Blackfoot Indians. Okay, I went into that, how that was all part. The Blackfoot Indians are actually, even though they say that they range all the way up into Canada, all the way down into the south, into the Tar Heel. The word Tar Heel and Blackfoot is synonymous. But that was nothing more than the Choctaw, which is the Washita. All right, let's go on. Also, you can go into Atlantis in America. Of course, Atlantis. Let's get into it. We can go back. If you get the book by Albert Church Ward, his brother James Church Ward, and it's called the Children of the of Mu. In the book, he speaks that the Twa people, or the Pygmies, as we refer to them as, which is a misnomer, were on the Hawaiian Islands over 2 million years ago, which was known as Lemuria or Mu. When portions of that area sunk beneath the ocean floor, it came into the Americas and spread it from the west into the east region. Of course, there was already people already there at that time anyway, because remember, we already referred to the fact that there was already people on the planet smelting metals over 600 million years ago. So these are the same people once again. All right. Now, Atlantis has been recently found, which actually this dates back to some time now. They already speculated that it was part of the Caribbean. And that many of those islands in the Caribbean actually was all part of one island at one time, all right, in which that was known as Atlantis, all the way from the Bermuda islands down into the Bahamas, into Haiti, into Dominican Republic, into Trinidad, or Tobago, into Cuba. All of that at one time was just one landmass. And because of various explosions from volcanic activity, according to the Atlantean mythology, it is stated that it sunk because of particular crystals in which that malfunctioned and caused particular implosions in which that caused the landmass or explosions in order to cause the landmass to sink beneath the ocean floor. They have now found cities underneath the Caribbean called Bimini, and other places in which that they have found actual structures, pyramids, underneath the ocean floor, according to various cameras that they've been able to take, and imaging that they've been able to take from satellites and various other places. So they know that this is real. All right. Of course, you know, there are still some who want to debate about Atlantis or Lemuria or Mu, and actually it's not debatable, you know, because the capital of Hawaii is called Maui, M-A-U-I, which is actually Mu, you know, so they still have the legacy. That's why they call Samoans, Morans, Samoans, all right? So it's a connection there in which that you have to go back, and when you look at the ancient Hawaiians, they look just like us, all right? Matter of fact, they still look like us today, and you go to 100 years ago, they definitely look like us. And you go 200 years ago, oh, man, I mean, that's us. So, I mean, there's no way in which that this can be denied any longer, all right? Let's see what else is going on here. It says, I'm reading from three books. Even Hebrew Jews comparison. It says the history of the Indians of the United States and the rise of the Choctaw Republic, written by Angie Debo. Right, and there's another book called The History of the American Indians by James Adair. All right, so the history of the Indians of the United States and the rise and fall of the Choctaw Republic. The Choctaw Republic, that's talking about the Empire Washto de Dagdamanya. That is us. Get that book by Angie Debo, D-E-B-O. Put into the engine search the Choctaw people and you will see us. Matter of fact, many of the so-called Native American celebrations or powwows, you will see us. We have to stop denying who we are. We are the indigenous people of the Americas and of Africa and of the world. It was best said by one of my teachers, Dr. Khaled Muhammad, that Africa is our throne, but the earth is our home. You know, so this is what I had to remind Brother Seti about when we did the so-called debate, which actually wasn't a debate. We were just simply giving out information and letting the people decide on what they wanted to, you know, believe or not. You see what I postulate, you know what I'm saying? And this information right now, I know that we up to about 60 books, if not more, by now, of information that we have given out so far. All right. So those are some of the questions. Anybody got to call in? You can call in now. We're going to go to the board, and we're going to go to area code 347. Area code 347, you're on the line. Peace. 347, you're on the line.
Peace, Aline. Peace, peace.
Peace.
Yeah, man. You really dropping it, man.
Oh, yeah, we got to.
As a matter of fact, it sounds like you in a vault slash library there.
Nah, actually, all this information is in my book, The First World Order. And anyone who wants to order that, just get in contact with me, and they can get it. You know, it's right now it's on special, $50. You know, so
okay.
The First World Order, that's the book right now. And I'm getting all the information from my book.
Okay, that's what's up. I definitely got to get my hands on that book. But a lot of people, you know, there's some scholars that say that the Olmecs come from Mali. And I don't think that's the case, bro.
Well, this is what they say. Now, based on Clyde Winters, Dr. Clyde Winters, he postulated this because of the vocabulary mm-hmm. Of the Mandi people, which is called the Mandingo people, and that of the Olmecs, is almost nearly identical. So they come from out of Mali, in which that is related to the Dogon. So this is the connection in which that they have determined by Dr. Clyde Winters. I'm more leaning towards that. Of course, there's other things in which that we can say, you know what I'm saying? But go ahead, brother. Give your science on it. What you dropping?
Nah, I'm just, from what I was taught, you know, the Olmecs is a misnomered name,
right,
you know, for the
Tuduci,
for the Tuduci Amaru people, and I know
right.
the Tuduci Amaru people to be autochthonous indigenous Americans over here.
Right, right, and actually that actually see what happened is that we had Africans who was making impacts back and forth, and remember we was Africans. You know, that is spread out throughout the diaspora, like we said, millions and even billions of years ago. So we're talking about various impacts over time, and it's nothing but the same people. So we can keep going back and forth with the various names, but the science is that we are still the oldest indigenous people on the planet, not just in the Western Hemisphere or in the Eastern Hemisphere, on the planet, period. You know, so I just leave it at that. You know, I can get into the discrepancies and try to figure out, you know, if we was already here, of course we know that we were, you know, or if, you know, we just came out of Africa 400 years ago, you know, of course some did, but not all of us. So there's different things in which that we have to break down into the criteria of, you know, as far as in history, but as far as you know, us figuring out if we're the most indigenous people on the planet in which hemisphere, we don't have to play that game. We know the truth. We're the old original people on the planet Earth. You know, that's the first, you know, that's the first, you know, lesson of the guys on Earth. You know what I'm saying? You know, who's the black man?
Yeah.
The black man's the original man. Make it on the cream of the planet Earth. Father of civilization, God of the universe.
Right.
It's right there. So we ain't got to debate that. We know who we are. We the gods. Goddesses.
That's right.
Let's you know what I'm saying? So, we'll contend with that, because then if we keep claiming this land and shit, what about Mars? What about places? What about this? With all the, you know, when the people, our ancient people say that we came to these various locations, you know, Saturn, you know, we were, you know, so I mean, there's many places. Tom said there was up to 7 planets that had life on it. You know,
okay.
So I'm claiming every damn thing.
I don't know if you're familiar with Dr. Neza Ali, Paleo American.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He mentioned, you know, the type O bloodline is the most ancient bloodline, and most of it is found, you know, Central South America.
That's right. And
yeah,
I'm O blood type, you know, I'm O blood type, so I'm original anyway.
Yeah, and the oldest calendar, you know, found on the planet, I heard it's found in Central America also, or
right.
In Mexico even.
Right. True.
You know.
That's true.
You know, so that's all people have to do is, you know, look it up.
No doubt. I appreciate you coming on and giving out that info. Go and check your facts, y'all. We're dropping the information here from us, and go out. See how it costs, you know, with, and how vibes, you know, with you. All right? Thanks, bro.
Peace. This is Brother Kyle from New York Republic. Peace.
All right. Peace, God. Appreciate you. Thanks.
Peace.
All right. We got another call here. It's called 113. It's an international call, so come on in. Peace.
Hello?
Yes. Greetings.
How are you doing?
You doing well.
You're baking some heavy bread, you know what I'm saying? Slicing them. But yeah, do you think it's really that many of us that, as far as coming over here on the slave ship? Like, I don't really think it's as low as 85. I think it's way, way, way lower than
I was talking about
the people that came here on slave ship. I'm not talking about the people that was already here. I'm talking about the people that came.
Right. Well, that was estimated about 15% of the general population that we have now. Of course, I mean, when you get 15% and you get 85%, I mean, the 15% gets swallowed up. So,
I still don't think it was that much.
Right.
I think it was that.
Right. We're being generous. That's according to, you know, to estimates. You know, which that now come from Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia, or in Georgia, in which that stated that there was supposedly a certain amount of ships. You know, as a matter of fact, when they speak about it, they go into a lot of slave trade information. But once again, they never prove to us any of these particular ships. You know, there's none in which that is found. But they claim that about that came to the United States is only about half of a million people. You know, that's what they say. Yeah, it's only about a half of a million people that came to the United States. They say the majority went, 4.5 million went to the West Indies, and then like 5 million went to South America, and then you know, and about 0.2 million went to Central America. This is what they claim according to this slave trade from the Africa to the Americas. So here in the United States, it's less than 0.5 million people that came here. You know, according to their estimates. You know, so according to a report at Emory University, they reported that the transatlantic slave trade, approximately 30,000 to 35,000 recorded ships or voyages, was made between the years 1560 to 1865, or 305 years, with approximately 200 to 500 so-called slaves or POWs, as I refer to them as. So this would average out to about 6 million to 17.5 million said slaves coming to the United States. Or coming to the Americas, I should say. And according to Wikipedia, they say about 12 million Africans were shipped to the Americas. Now, of course, we just using Wikipedia as a test. You know, not saying that this is, you know, because I got plenty of other information where this comes from, but they estimate that about 645,000 were brought to what is now known as the United States. All right? The largest numbers were shipped to Brazil. This is what they claim, you know, on Wikipedia. Now, there's other so-called slaves you know, sites. It's called www.slaveryinamerica.org, in which that speaks about it. And there's another one called socialentrepreneurship.change.org, in which that speaks about information too. So this is what they say. I agree with you, because I'm still trying to figure out the distillation process for a 3 to 4 month voyage, and that we need water at least once a week, or once, you know, till half of a week. Otherwise, we dehydrate. And on the ocean seas, you know, which is the most dehydration place that you can be at, is because the sea salt, you know, when the sun hits the water, it evaporates. So you breathe in all that salt in, so you're going to need more water, you know. So that scenario has to be questioned. And no one has yet been able to tell me the European distillation process. How was they able to change sea salt water, you know, into fresh water? And have yet to get an answer from any scholar, you know, who postulates, you know, the African theory of the slave trade. Have yet to, and I'm like, okay, we have all these museums. We have the French Louvre, you know, we have the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C. We have the Natural Historian Museum in New York. We have the British Museum in London. Amazingly, no slave ships. But yet, Portugal, Spain, France, Belgium, the Netherlands, Britain, and the United States all participated in the slave trade. But yet, none of them have any damn ships in the museums. That's amazing to me. That's really amazing.
I mean it's straight. We've been hoodwinked, for real. I mean, because I was doing some knowledge to my genealogy. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I was finding out my father is a straight up waterstop. My mother is a straight up. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's ridiculous. People don't believe this stuff. Not even question. Because our people just got to get emotion. As soon as they get to the state. Not only that, what about the Europeans? I mean, fuck is that would be in brackets. We don't even ask about that now. There's a whole bunch of books written on that. We don't ever ask about that.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Because I was reading some paperwork, some documents today, a letter written in 1875, I think he was writing to a president, in which he said, throughout the whole process, he said, it was probably 300,000 people brought here, if not less. He said, not
right.
Much, much less. He didn't just say, if not, he said, much, much. He said, throughout the whole process.
Exactly.
It was less than 300,000. And he didn't just say, it's not less, it's not much, much less. He said, if not less. Oh, and then he said, if not, I was reading documents written in 1875. Written by which president the historian was writing it to. So we've been hurt big time.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the reason why.
Emotional.
But that's the reason why we're dropping it on them tonight. To get this, it set the record straight, as Dr. York said. You got to set this record straight. You know, and, you know, one of the brothers in the chat room was talking about the five civilized tribes, the Choctaw, the Cherokee, the Creek, Seminole. Which is the Creek, which is the Muscogee and the Chickasaw, and how they all, you know, they was called American Indians by Grant Forman, and that actually the five civilized tribes actually nothing more than the Bay, the Days, the Owls, the Ills, and the Alis. You know, Brother Hakeem H.Y. Bay broke that down years ago, you know, on one of his videos. Matter of fact, I think it was What They Never Told You in History. You know, it was on that video. You know, and I come back and I state the same information that I found within my book, The First World Order. So, you know, this information is getting out, and that's what we have to keep doing, pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. Because, like I said, when Grandma keeps telling us that we Native American and they keep naming all these Native American tribes, you know, how is that possible? I mean, when did Negroes get time to sex the Native Americans that they was on the plantation? You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Right. So I mean, a lot of this stuff doesn't make any sense, man. You know, now they saying that now they saying that Native Americans had slaves. I'm like, hold up, how they went from not owning water, not owning land, to not owning niggas?
Oh, and then niggas. The funniest thing is, I was going through my news feed. I seen so many Negroes fall for that. They are, because it's so. I mean, I think this is why I've been able to do a lot of work with the young people, of retraining them about the history. As soon as we hear the word slave, we somehow think that's us. We don't, just like people don't even understand. I hear a lot of people, like a lot of people don't understand. The Arab slave trade was not about us. It was actually about Sakaliba. Who are the Sakaliba? Some of us are crazy. That's those. But as soon as we hear the word slave, we automatically think us. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. That's right.
So I don't know why this has happened, but as soon as we hear the word, we don't question it.
Automatically,
you don't even ask about all the cultures that was being brought here. And then when I'm doing the, when I'm looking at the documents, they're even saying that even the ships that were bringing the cultures over here were not even built for slaves; they were built for trading.
That's
how
right.
How about that now?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you, people don't question that? They tell you. There's a cultures in the book called when they were white and they were slaves. They tell you in the book even the. Those ships weren't even built for Caucasus. They were built for trade. Those people were just bringing in as like a extra stuff. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. I agree, Yacht. And I mean, right. And see, we have to go back and analyze a lot of this stuff, because there's a lot of stuff in which that is being miscommunicated and lies are being told. And so we have to correct them. And the only way to do so is if you have an open mind. You know what I'm saying? We can't keep having a closed mind like what we've been seeing. You know what I'm saying? And which has been causing these little Facebook wars, you know, and these little debates in which that's been going back and forth. You know, when you get into the real research, all of us have to come to the conclusion that we are the original people in this landmass, period. You know?
Period.
And now you have to debate. Now the only thing you have to debate on how many of us were born here. That's the only debate that is left now. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Is it 300,000, less than 300,000, or is it 400,000, 500,000? Because even according to their own information, it's less than 600,000, you know, that was born here. In other words, less than half of a million people that was born here. And like you said, it's even lower than that over that 305-year period. So I definitely agree with you. You know, the point is, where are the boats in these particular museums? And you know damn well they would have kept the boats. They would have loved to show our black asses, you know, our Moorish asses, you know, the whips and chains and shit. You know, they would have loved to show that to you. Oh, here, Master John whooping that ass. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, they would have loved to have shown this. Now, here are the chains, you know, while you was on the boat being chained up. And they showed you, I mean, they would have had the whole damn big-ass boat in the museum.
Exactly.
You know, and the fact that none of these places have any of these boats, you know, shows me that something is going on. And they have never had them.
Yep. Yep.
You know, and the last slave trade. Yeah, and the last slave trip was 1865, according to history. 1865, so that's only 150 years ago. So you tell me that... In 150 some odd years, y'all didn't say this. You get shit from Egypt from 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years ago in the museums, in all of these museums, but you ain't got shit from 150 years ago. you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, yo, there's some fishy shit going on, but I'm gonna give you a cause here.
But also, my brother, I don't want to. Let me finish this real quick. A lot of us have not really researched the fact that there was a long stretch of time in which the slave trade was cut. Was like cut. You couldn't do it before it was completely like cut off completely. There was a lot of period of time in between that. They stopped it for a long period of time. And then we started again. Stopped it. Long period of time. We got to look investigate that part too. See.
Right.
People don't see the stretch of time before it was completely illegalized, that there's stretch of time when it was made illegal. It's legal. It's illegal during this period of time. It's like 5 years. Now it's made illegal again. 5 years it's caught up. Made legal. 15 years it's caught up. People who research that. You know what I'm saying? So,
all right. That's right. That's right. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you, God, for calling in. And I'm going to get to these other calls. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, too, bro.
All right. We're going to bring back on the goddess Alicia. You there?
I'm right here.
All right. Please hit them with it one more time before we go. And we got some more calls. Hopefully, they're going to ask some questions here about the trip.
All right, excellent. Once again, it's the 2013 United Ouachita Conference Cruise to the Pyramids. Some of the questions that I have are, do you have to be a member of the United Ouachita organization in order to come? No. Do you have to be a Moor in order to come? No, you do not have to. Not at all. It is cruising on March 21st through March 25th, which is a Thursday through Monday over the spring equinox, out of Tampa, Florida, going to Cozumel, Mexico. You can email me at honorandglorytravel@gmail.com. You can text me at 404-401-7448, or you can call me directly at 888-636-5222. 888-636-5222, 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard. I'll be glad to send a package out to you. The first deposit is due this Monday, which is the 20th. We are running a special. If you do get your deposit in by this Monday, it is only $50 per person. It was $100 per person. It is only $50 per person. You can actually donate plasma between now and then and come up with $50 per person to get your deposit in. Remember to call me, 888-656-5222. You can hit me on Facebook at Alicia, A-L-I-S-H-A-H. Kier, K-I-E-R. It's the one with the woman bowing, not the one with the cruise ship.
All right. Thank you, Alicia. And I'm going to keep you on hold here. And if there's anything to discuss, I'm going to see if there's anybody that want to go into that information. I'm going to go to the phone lines, and we're going to go to area code 347. Area code 347, you're on the line. Peace. Area code 347. Peace. Area code 347. Starting with 972. Starting with 972. 347 972. You're on the line. All right, we're going to go to area code 832. Area code 832, you're on the line.
Peace, man.
Peace, peace.
Brother Khalid, Brother Khalid Rabe calling out of Houston. Just calling, and I want you to touch in a little more on where my demographics in the area where I'm at. We can touch on a lot of people, which is all Ouachita. I know you're familiar with the Chatto Mound Builders, which is all a part of, you know, the Ouachita Nation.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
And just want you to speak to. I'm not sure you spoke on the bell that they found, and I think in Massachusetts. And a lot of the underground cities in Texas. I remember you speaking on that. I want you to go in a little bit and on that.
Right. Well, we spoke about the connection between the Ouachita and Texas, and even how that was spoken of within the Ancient American magazine, and how there was the ancient mound builders in which that populated, you know, through Louisiana, through Mississippi Valley, through Texas, all the way up into Canada. You know, so. You know, drop that information that you were just talking about the underground cities and everything that we found in Texas.
The correlation is dealt with from Canada, the which later on.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually have two. You know, the pretenses. In America,
years.
All right, I think the brother had technical difficulties. He got cut off. We're going to go to area code 347, ending with 3801.
Hi, Dr. Bay. How are you doing? This is Deborah. Great show. It was very informative. Research is definitely defining. Definitely. We have to do our research. It's always needed.
Please, Deborah. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. You got something for us?
I just want to call in to inquire. Are you still able to do a Moringa interview for August, or were you thinking
it'd
be done in September?
We can do it next week if you want.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a great night. Great show.
All right. Peace. All right. We're going to go back to area code 347, ending in 0991. Area code 347, ending in 0991. You're on the line. 0991, you're on the line. Peace.
Peace, peace. You hear me?
Hey, yeah, we got you now, bro.
Yeah, yeah, I was just on talking about, you know, the Allmix and stuff.
Oh, okay, okay.
I really got nothing to say now, but
okay.
Peace to Sister Alicia. Yeah, okay. Peace to Sister Alicia. I'm familiar with her, I know the ledge.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, peace, who is this speaking?
This is Brother Kyle.
Oh, greetings, bro. Greetings, indeed. Are you coming with us?
I'm contemplating on it. Do you have one? Y'all have one next month, right?
Right, right, absolutely. No, the Ledge is doing it next month, indeed.
Yeah, yeah. I'm contemplating on 2013.
Okay, excellent, excellent. You get that $50 in by Monday, and you'll be good to go.
All right. Very well said.
Oh, yeah, definitely. All of y'all need to make plans to do that this Monday, $50, to Sister Alicia in order to get on this United Washington cruise to the pyramids. We definitely want to go, and, you know, if you can't go to Africa, you know, in which that costs, you know, $3,500, you know, or so, if you want to go with Pastor Ray Higgins, if you want to go with Oshawa Kwesi, now, here go a trip in which that is under $1,000, you know, in which that is, you know, actually under $800, you know. You know, between $500 to $800, you know. And so that's definitely much cheaper in order to go see your ancestral areas, you know. So we are actually, you know, imploring you to come, you know, to these particular trips, this particular cruise. You know, you're definitely going to enjoy yourself. You know, we're going to drop a whole lot of information. We're going to go more in depth than the radio can't go in depth as far as I can go, as far as, you know, with the pictures and different other information. I mean, we're going to take this thing so deep until anyone that hears the information will have to bear witness to it. There's no debate, like I said earlier, on this. You know, so come on in and check us out. All right? All right, we got another caller. Area code 314. Area code 314. You on the line?
It's Islam Moore.
Islam Moore. How you doing tonight?
St. Louis, Missouri Republic.
All right.
Brother Redmond Hale. Yes, sir. I have a lot of what you were talking about in the First World Order because I bought the book.
All right.
And I can bear witness that what you're saying is very valid. You know, like you said earlier, we're not going to debate on who was what. You know, they were Omex, as far as my concern.
Right.
So, boy, as the sister talking about the trip to Mexico, the pyramids, do you have the address? Do you have the address where I can send the money order to?
I do, bruh, indeed. You can send it. Actually, if you will give me your email address, I can send, because there's a form. You can't just send a money order without the form, so we know who to attach it to. So if you give me your email address, I'll be glad to email it out to you, and then that way it'll have the address and everything on there for you.
Unfortunately, I don't have an email, and I'm in the process of moving pretty soon. So,
Okay. Do you have access to the internet at all?
No, ma'am, I sure don't.
Okay. All right, you can send it to P.O. Box 6008.
Box 608008.
6008, Marietta, M-A-R-I-E-T-T-A, Georgia.
Marietta, okay.
And that's 30065.
30065, that's the postal zone?
That's the zip code. And then
okay.
You'll make it payable to Honor and Glory Travel.
Okay, Honor and Glory Travel, okay.
And that's also who you'll address the envelope to. And just on there put 2013, or just put United Ouachita, so I'll at least know who to reference it to. Please make sure that you write your phone number and a way for us to contact you, because there's a form that you really need to fill out
okay.
for you and for your travel companion so
okay.
that we'll be able to complete your reservation.
Okay, so United Ouachita?
Yeah, just put United Ouachita in there so we at least will know, you know, what cruise to cross-reference you to.
Okay, so you said the address is an address again now?
It's Honor and Glory Travel.
Honor and Glory Travel.
P.O. Box 6008.
Okay.
And that's Marietta, M-A-R-I-E-T-T-A, Georgia.
Georgia, okay.
30065.
Okay, I got you.
And you
okay,
definitely want to go ahead. Today is, what, Thursday, Wednesday? Yeah, so you definitely want to drop it in the mail tomorrow because we have to have it by Monday in order for the $50 to be honored.
Okay, yeah. All right, I'll thank you much.
You're welcome. Is it you already have a travel companion?
Not as yet. This is my first time hearing anything about it.
Okay.
So I get word around, but those that haven't been listening on the Low Talk Radio show, I have to get the word around tonight.
Okay, and
going.
Let me give you my number as well, because I want to give you some more details just so you understand, because everything on a cruise is based on double occupancy, so it's two people per room.
Okay.
My direct number is 888.
636-5222. Okay.
And if you can call after the show is over, that I'll try to go ahead and drop the information to you in the mail so
okay.
that you can have it as well. But definitely you do need a travel companion. We'll try to match up anybody that doesn't have a roommate. But
okay.
you want to, you know, go ahead and have you a backup plan just in case.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Thank you much.
Indeed. We look forward to having you. Islam.
Yes, ma'am. Islam.
All right. I'm going to call it a show for tonight. Appreciate you, Alicia, for coming on and dropping that information for us.
Thank
and,
you for having me. I'm excited.
We're going to bring you back over and over again until we get everything right. So,
wonderful.
Just tell me whenever you're ready to come back on, you know, get you back in here, you know, we can make this thing big as we possibly can.
I'll come on as often as you want me to. I'm going to, I just want a cruise that's going to Kemet and to Israel in October. So, I am trying to be on as much as I can before I roll up out. And I am very, very excited. Cannot wait. We're going to be doing the pyramids next month with the pills, my little brothers. So I cannot wait. And we'll be able to come back and tell you how excellent that is. So it's just
okay.
going to be off the charts. This is going to be a wonderful opportunity.
All right. Appreciate you. Thank you, Goddess.
Thank you.
And this is Guru featuring Angie Stone. Keep your worries.
Peace.
Peace.
Ooh, ooh, keep your chest, plus betting it all. Record sales, awards, accolades, I'm getting it all. Mad chips right above my grip, I'm letting them fall. Who said the G.O.D. wasn't coming to do his thing? Who said the industry wasn't gonna bow to this king? I paid dues, stayed true, so I made it through. If you handle your B.I. fly guy, you can make it too. Your potential is infinite. Be wise, visualize, witness it. Why waste your time focusing your mind on little shit? Angie understands me, and Scratch got my back, so keep away from the fire. Burning desire, yo, we got that.
Keep your feet out my shoes. Feel like it done pay my dues. Keep my home out your hair. Let your virility take it there. Keep my name out your mouth. We got some work talking about.
Never been a stranger to struggle, gotta maintain my hustle. Used to let the anger bubble. These streets can bring mad danger and trouble. And I can do bad all by myself. Do me a favor, don't be concerned about my wealth. If you're one of my peeps, you're gonna know that. But if I ain't feeling you, player, my face is gonna show that. So keep your eyes off my pockets. Don't be surprised if I cock it. Can't out slick a can of oil. You never spoil my profit. See how I'm flipping this here? Things are different this year. Ain't got no time to listen to niggas that be tripping this year. Cause and effect. I always get applause and respect when I rhyme. Universal laws, truth and righteousness connect.
See the knowledge and I'm kicking to you. There is nothing that another can do. Try to stop me, but I made you do. Recruiting angels as a warrior, I'm
telling you that there's war out here, and I've been telling you that there's more out here. So stop limiting your thoughts, stop reconstructing your plots. It's more than luck, it's an art. No more ducking from knocks. Haters stay at a distance, haters keep away from my fam. Haters stay in my business, haters still playing this jam. Mad wisdom reflect the light of this man. Some jealous rappers tried to pick a fight with this man, but despite all the nonsense and false pretense, I bombed this. Peace to those I get along with, my real niggas I'm strong with. And never get me twisted with no whack shit. And all that foolishness you was kicking, I know you wanna take it back, kid.
Keep your feet out my shoes. Feel like it done pay my dues. Keep my home out your hair. Let your body ready to take it there. Keep my name out your mouth. We got some work talking about. Keep your hands to yourself, 'cause I belong to someone else. Keep your feet out my shoes. Feel like me done pay my dues.